This is the Open Air Project.
If you want to do something, get out and do it.
And do it now. Do it while you can.
Life is just too short.
So, Steve and I just got out of the woods. I mean, what, half an hour ago?
Yeah, it hasn't been long.
Yeah.
Enough time to get home and grab a bite to eat and sit down at this microphone.
Yeah. We're running a little bit late on some things. With trail cameras. We didn't put trail cameras out yet. I had one out.
I have a few out, but there was a couple areas we wanted to take a better look at, and this is probably the last weekend we're going to try and attempt something like that.
Yeah, we won't go back in, and unless it's an area that we're not going to hunt.
Yeah, and that might be a possibility.
Because something now, that we're interested in.
Well, we've changed our trail cam tactics a little bit, too. I think some of these we're going to sit. We're going to leave them on all year. I probably won't pull a couple of the ones we set today till at least after buck season or rifle season's over.
Well, yeah, because deer are pretty cyclical, and I think the real benefit is not messing that up, not going in there just because you want to know what's on your trail camera.
Well, we just talked about that today on the ride back. Typically, we would set those cameras in the summer and then run in and check them once every 3 weeks or once a month because you want to know what's on them.
So
I don't think we're going to do that so much anymore.
No. Today, we have Scott Coudry with us.
Cooter!
How's it going?
Scott is one of our good friends and big-time hunter, big-time bow guy. I think we'll be able to gain some knowledge from Scott here as we go along. Scott has a Western hunt coming up that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, first time.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, super exciting.
Yeah, I'm kind of jealous.
Oh, I told him I am jealous. Like, not kind of.
It's kind of happened a lot faster than I thought it was going to.
That's the way it's got to be, though. Yeah. You just got to jump in with both feet.
Yeah, that's okay, because sometimes you tend to hem-haw around about it, and then next thing you know, the guys that want to do it.
Yeah.
End up never doing it or
right.
doing it later in life. And
Yeah.
It gets any later.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm almost 40.
Right. And,
young buck.
Yeah. Well, compared to you.
Well, you figure, what do you got? You got maybe 10 more years. Maybe more than that. But
yeah.
And some guys are doing it longer. But
the way we're going to hunt, yeah. Because it's all backpack, living there for a week. Come out, restock, head back.
Yeah, which
How long of a trip are you going to make?
It's definitely going to be 2 weeks, depending on, you know, how successful we are. But our main plan as of now is to take 2 days to drive out and then head into the woods for six days.
We'll get into that. Okay. I don't want to go there yet.
All right.
Okay. Because I have some ideas on some things I want to talk about first. The first thing I want to talk about is that CWD was found in our area, and we might have brought that up before. I can't remember, but they also found some deer that had tags in their ears that had CWD, so they were escaped from a deer farm. I'm completely against deer farms. I think it's a really bad thing. I think, you know, this is just my opinion, and from what I understand is that CWD comes from or has come from that. I know that, or it spreads easily.
Spreads,
that
way. Because they're all eating out of the same trough.
Right.
Spreads, yeah, easily.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, though, in today's game, those hunting farms they're never going to get rid of them. Mm-hmm. The way guys hunt anymore, and, you know, you're hunting high fence areas, and the deer, some of the sperm from those deer are getting shipped off to places. It's a huge money market, and it's probably not going to end.
Well, thank God that our game commission took the step of killing those deer. When they saw them, they saw that they were acting erratically, and thought that, you know, that was obviously a problem, and they want to get them out of there.
That's two deer that were taken down in the last month, I think, right?
Yep. So I think that as hunters, we're going to have to start pushing the envelope with our politicians. You know, if we want this to stop, you know, then we're going to have to start pushing that. I'm okay with not using deer lure scents.
We talked about that before we came on, and I know our game commission at one point had talked about making the use of real deer urine illegal as an attractant, just for the fact that it could spread. Well, all that urine's coming out of deer pens.
And I think...
And I'm okay with it, too. I don't have a problem with not using it.
We've all used it as hunters, right? But then you realize, you know, is it doing anything for you or not?
I didn't see where it did anything for me.
Right.
I mean, it made them stop and sniff around a little bit.
Yeah.
But whether it actually brought them in there.
Yeah, in certain situations, I think it might work. But in most cases, what we see, just saw a drip box or a drip bottle hanging in a tree today.
You know? That they left there.
I see that.
And you know, here's the deal. Those bucks are going to make scrapes in underneath that tree, regardless whether you got that drip bottle there or not. And if it's under it's the same tree every year. And the crazy thing about this tree was it was out in the middle of the open.
Yeah.
Like you're not.
They're not going to come out there.
Oh.
The bad part about outlawing like the scents and stuff like that just goes right back to what I was saying about, you know, the deer farms never going away.
Yeah.
The way that the three of us hunt and most of the guys that we know doing, you know, the public land and going out and doing the scouting, that's a dying sport.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing it the way we were taught, but the majority of guys that are hunting, I'm going to say, it's too easy anymore to drop a couple grand and get a guide somewhere and have it. And that's not going away. As much as I'd like to see that go away, it's never going to. So you're not going to get rid of the deer farms. You're not going to get rid of the urine. It's going to be up to our commissioners, to the game commission, to outlaw that if it's ever going to stop.
Right. I think it's needed. I think I'm willing to push the envelope with it anyways. But so... On another subject, I also wanted to bring up, if you guys aren't shooting, it's
go time.
You need to be shooting. We shoot basically all year round. Not typically during hunting season, though. I can't say that I shoot.
I do, especially if it's been a week or two. I have a target out at the house all the time. So if I feel that I've gone a couple of weeks, it's just... I will go out and throw 20 arrows at a bag just to make sure I'm still on top of everything.
Well, I will fling a couple arrows, but it's usually just to check my equipment.
Yep.
And to be honest with you, that time of year, I don't have time to be shooting. It seems like I know it only takes a couple minutes. I guess what I was getting at, though, is if you're not shooting every year, one, you need to be shooting, or all year round, one, you need to be shooting right now. And you need to be shooting every day. The other thing is if you're not a very good archer, you need to be practicing more. And you know who you are. If you're not a very good archer, I mean, you know you're not good.
I was guilty of not practicing for years.
Me too.
That was the only reason I got into it, was because before, I was like, if I can't go 100%, then I'm not doing it.
Right.
Because I don't want to be that guy to wound a deer every year.
Yeah.
I wounded a deer last year and it crushed my soul. But I'm not sure that deer didn't die anyways.
Well, that's after shooting all year too, so that still doesn't take everything out of the equation.
No.
Just makes you... That shot should be second nature. You shouldn't have to think about it. If you're shooting all year long, that becomes second nature. Yep. That doesn't take...
No, you're gonna wound. If you it's hunt still gonna enough, you're going to wound an animal. Yeah. So I just wanted to bring that up. I think if you're not shooting, it's that time of year. You need to be out there shooting. Mm-hmm. It's got to happen. If you're in our area, we have about another month and a half. If you're out in the Midwest, some of you guys are starting in three weeks.
Yeah.
So
Scott, you pound targets constantly, right?
Yeah. I take my bow to work with me. And
yeah, and you don't have an excuse that I'm too busy because you got two little kids at home and work on the road. And
yep. Yeah, that's keeps me out of the bar.
Yeah, about
it. It's one of those things, though, that if you're going to be good at it, you need to do it all the time.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think you and get yourself to the point where you feel comfortable.
That's the big thing.
It takes out a lot of the questions out of your mind. When you draw back, that becomes second nature. To shoot becomes second nature. The other parts, well, you know, if you get the shakes when you're shooting, that can be tough.
Why not?
Yeah.
If you don't get that from hunting.
Well, I don't get them when I'm shooting. I get them after the fact. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I release that and I'm just like,
fall apart. Well, last year was my second year hunting, first year to get to harvest with a bow.
Mm-hmm.
And that you're saying a shot should be second nature as much as we pray. And it was like I drew back, just burning a hole in that deer where I wanted that arrow to hit. And all of a sudden the arrow just went off.
Right.
Like I didn't have to think about pulling a trigger. It just boom.
But I can tell you from firsthand experience that it was not always like that for me whenever, because I didn't shoot enough.
That's part of the learning curve. Yeah. We didn't.
Yeah.
You and I were the same way. We'd break the bows out in August and shoot for a couple weekends and be like, good to go. Yeah. and we weren't good. We weren't good to go.
Almost 3 years ago that we all got together before we went on that first Ohio trip. And I think that's when we
became all, very serious. Yeah,
we've all changed
our
hunting ways.
Well, yeah. And we even shoot during the winter. You didn't get to shoot this year with us, but
and it shows. Like I don't feel, I don't feel like I'm where I was at last year this time.
Oh, I'm a little behind this year too. Yeah. Just
not shooting over the winter, really.
We did.
It's
shoot
messing with my mind, is what it is. I'm shooting good, just mentally. I'm like, I know I'm not as good as I was last year.
Yeah, and it's important to have that edge, though, that mental edge. You don't want that creeping in the back of your mind when there's a big buck standing in front of you.
No.
So, also, in Pennsylvania, you have to send away for your doe tag. You don't get a doe tag. You get one tag. It's for a buck. And if you want a doe tag, you have to send away for a doe tag. And they only allow so many tags every year. We all three got, did you get yours in the mail?
I did finally. You guys had me worried though, because Monday everybody's like, I got my license, I got my tag, I got, I didn't think mine came till Thursday.
Right.
But I knew I got it. I got online and looked and was approved for it, so it just took a while to come to me.
I don't think they, did they change the numbers at all?
They did last year. I don't know if they did this year or not. Right.
I'm not sure either. It's something that I normally don't pay a whole lot of attention to.
Same here.
Second, the way our state does it is you get a first draw and residents get first dibs. Then I think a week later the out-of-state guys can send in for theirs.
There's something changed there with the out-of-state people. Yeah, they move their date
They get in earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're giving those guys more of an opportunity.
Earlier than they used to.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Then anything that's not sold, they have a second draw for, which just happened for us this past weekend.
It's going to happen Monday.
Yep.
Yeah, well, this weekend,
I missed out.
And
my buddy did not.
You didn't miss out. If you fill that thing out tonight and take it down,
it's always a chance.
You still got a shot.
That's okay. I was explaining that to you guys before the show. I'm the only one in my family that eats deer. So last year, not this year, but last year I ate three deer no problem. Even I was looking for some deer at the end there. This year, that fuck out of Ohio was so big.
Yeah.
It's like 1.5 of our deer here.
Exactly. So I still have Pennsylvania deer left. I don't have any Ohio deer.
No, those are the first ones you eat.
Oh, does it taste good? There's a definite difference in taste.
It's kind of like having a great IPA or a Coors Light, and you got a 12 pack of each in the refrigerator.
Or Miller Lite.
Yeah. Nah. Don't leave me out.
So that's a good segue into our Ohio hunt this year. Steve and I will be in Ohio the first weekend.
The opening weekend.
Yeah. And
which I'm really looking forward to. Yeah. I am and I'm not. And the reason I'm not is because last year we did that. Two of the first days that we hunted to open their season, day one, I think it hit 85 by lunchtime.
Smoking hot. Yeah.
Nobody has hunting clothes for 85 degrees.
you're in shorts and a t-shirt.
Even Mr. Sunshine Dream over here, he's like, bring on the heat, but...
It was hot.
Oh, my.
It was hot.
It's always two rainbows and unicorns.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
2 days of that, and I was ready to come back home, though, actually. You just can't hunt in that for very long. At least I can't. I mean, I'm sure those Midwest guys are running into that all the time, opening season in September, but...
You'd think you just hunt the evening, you know?
Well, we had a couple of days in the rut. Not last year. Last year was warm, but the year before that, we had a day out in Ohio where it was 80 degrees.
Scott was with us that.
That's right. Yeah.
Last Saturday was brutal.
Oh, my goodness.
It was so cold in the morning because I remember getting in the stand and I had heavier pants on and a jacket. And Matt and I ended up meeting up like probably around 11. And then we moved stands and that afternoon it was just smoking hot.
Yeah.
There's no scent free in 80 degree weather.
No,
you're not keeping the stink off of
it. It's just the wind.
Yeah, playing the wind at that point.
And trying to stay cool.
Yeah, well, I had my feet out of my boots. I mean, I remember that day.
That's the year I got lucky enough to shoot that buck first day, and the rest of the week I went and bought another tag, remember?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it got to the point for me where I was sitting in a tree stand with a t-shirt on, you know.
Should have been squirrel hunting. Would have got more meat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Well, I had another tag, and I thought, you know, I don't even... At this point, it's just nice to be out here, but I'm not going to sit here and sweat when I'm not in the game anymore. If a doe walks by me, you know, so be it. I'm going to shoot her, but
But that was the day that you had another monster buck walk in front of you, right?
That was like 2 days.
You were on the ground.
That was 2 days later, and I was just kind of putting my time in.
No, but that was that hot day, wasn't it?
Oh, it was hot that day, too. It was hot that whole week.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's just just chilling out on the ground. You know, Cody's hunting. I took a walk for a while and then sat down for, I don't know, the last 4 hours of the evening, and I just put myself up a great big up against a big oak tree. And
so we need to tell this story. This is a great story, right? So I'm in my tree, and
Well, I had a deer, so we tried another piece of property that we had permission to hunt on that we hadn't hunted yet.
Yeah.
So you knew where you wanted to go, and you went and set up. I went for a walk on that property and walked some of the stuff that we hadn't seen yet. Mm-hmm. I sit down, and I was squirrel hunting that day. Mm-hmm. I had every intention. Of course, and I don't see any of those squirrels of the day that, you know, nothing close enough to shoot when I take arrows in to do so. But... we're sitting there, and I grabbed a hunk of cedar that had hit the ground, and I'm whittling with my knife, just playing around. I have no intention of shooting another deer. It's the day before we leave. You're looking for a buck yet, and about, I'm going to say like an hour before daylight, maybe 45 minutes before dark, sorry. I just happened to look up from doing whatever I'm doing, and 30 yards in front of me, here comes a nice buck. I'm going to say a 130 in the 130 range, coming right up the trail right at me. Has no idea I'm there. So I didn't know for sure how far Cody had gone away from me, but I kind of hide my cell phone in between my legs, and I texted you, and I said, there's a huge buck right in front of me.
Which we're not sure if it's legal or not in Ohio to do that, but okay.
Well, no, but it happened.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think about how can I bump this deer to try to get it to run towards you, right? I don't want to scare it, but I do kind of want to let it know that I'm there, and hopefully it runs towards your position, right? So it's just standing there, and it's not doing anything. And I text you, and I said, try and grunt at it. Maybe it'll come over.
Now it's coming back to me. And I remember now.
So I'm like, I grunt, right?
Yeah, and then he...
And then
you text
like,
me
can
back.
You hear me? He's like, no, can't hear you. So I start grunting. I'm like, wah! I mean, I'm honking on that thing, man. And rattling horns together. I mean, it was, oh.
You're like, what's it doing now? And I said, standing here looking at me.
if anybody would have seen me in that tree.
Oh, we laughed our ass off after we got back, man. Because right, I said, right I could just face. See you over there. Yeah, standing up yeah. on your stand, blowing into this thing. Probably look like a freight train coming down the track.
And if somebody could have heard me, I mean, they would have been like, what is that guy doing? So,
well, yeah, I don't know about the whole texting thing about deer. I mean, you can throw a corn pile down and...
In Ohio, yeah, you can hunt over a bait. So it might not be a...
I don't know. Might not be an issue, but it might be, but anyhow...
Although we need to look into that because we don't want to be getting a fine.
I don't know that we're going to run into that situation again, but...
No.
I just thought it was funny. Like that was the third time that had happened to me. I had shot that buck and then saw at least two more, maybe three more, and you hardly saw a deer.
That year, I saw a 4-point and a 3-point, and that was it.
You guys had a couple opportunities.
I did the first day and didn't take it like a dummy because I thought, man.
Wait for something bigger.
Well, it was we didn't even check into camp yet.
Right.
We just roll out right to the property, get in the stand. We're all sitting there. You guys were set up on your property. We're mm-hmm. all kind of texting each other and killing time. And I think Steve said, I just rattled a buck in.
Yep.
And I start texting Matt, and I said, what do you think? Should I? Well, we're not seeing nothing now. It ain't going to hurt. So I rattled. And, I mean, it wasn't 5 minutes, and here comes a buck. Right, 20 yards, I mean.
Which would never happen in Pennsylvania.
No. And he stood there. And I like, first night, first day, I still got 5 or 6 days. Yep. We're good.
I got to say
I'll never do that again.
No.
Ever.
I got to say, though, that I was a little bit bored. I mean, I did a lot of scouting the next few days and went and looked at some stuff on that farm that we hadn't saw before. But you can only do that so much. And then you don't want to screw the other guys hunting up that's around. You guys mm-hmm. were on, Scott was on a different piece of property, mm-hmm. but Cody and I were hunting the same one. And you don't want to be yes. blowing deer out yeah. when your buddy's hunting that place, you know. Yeah. So you got to be careful there. I spent a lot of time in the stand then because that's all there is to do. You know, you're not going to, we're in the middle of nowhere.
Well, you hung out back at camp the first
one day. I was really bored that day.
Yeah.
I'm better off in the woods.
Yeah. I don't know how you did that.
At the cabin by myself. And well, I went, that's when I went and I got my extra tag. And
oh, yeah.
I think I went to.
Oh, you went to the butcher and you took care of all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, that takes a couple hours. After that, you're just, you know, you can only clean the floor so many times or look out the window and you know nobody's around to talk to
and there we didn't get service
no none at all so you don't have any of that unless you're gonna day drink all day
right.
And I, the thought crossed my mind but I'm not a huge day drinker so I left me that either. Till you guys got back
right
So, and I have, the other thing was when we go down there, you're only taking one vehicle for like, you know, two or three people. So I had to borrow a vehicle to go, I borrowed Matt's truck to go get my, my other tag. And then, you know, if you don't go hunting, there's nothing to do. So
not out there.
I'm not.
Yeah, because it is in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah, you're not going to go hang out at the local mall or something like that, or go watch a movie.
Not that you would, anyways.
No.
But yeah, that was an interesting trip. I had a rough trip that trip. Every time I sat down in a tree, here comes somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like this one guy
drove a pickup right down through.
Yep. Yeah.
And parked.
Yep. Parked at the end, and then here come the owners of the farm, drive down to give him hell because he had drove down through their field.
Yeah. I do have to say, though, that by no means am I complaining. I'll take a first-day deer every single time.
Me too.
I'll be bored for 5 days after that. Don't worry.
But it spoiled you. That buck spoiled you because last year you passed a deer down there.
I did. Well, you know what's there. It's hard to shoot 100-inch deer.
Yeah. I would pass on 100-inch probably down there every time.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
Alone, and I tell you, if it's the end of the week, if it's the last day.
We still had a couple days when I passed. I saw a lot of small bucks in there last year, but
yeah,
I saw a
couple. It bodes well for this year coming.
Yeah, so that maybe that
karma. Because they grow quick there.
I'm a big believer in karma. Maybe he'll come back.
Well, I had an older guy tell me, he's like, don't pass on a deer the first day that you'd be willing to shoot on the last day.
Mm. Yeah, I'm probably going to do it. The first day, if a 100-inch deer walks in front of me, there's no way I'm shooting.
It's hard to do here.
Yeah.
It's hard to do in PA. It's easy to do in Ohio because previous to seeing that smaller buck or the smaller ones that I'd seen, we had seen a couple monsters.
Monsters.
Couldn't get anything in bow range until you shot that one, but... Mm-hmm. And that was the very end of the week, but boy, we saw some daddies.
Well, I had another one in bow range. I just couldn't get him to walk out from behind a tree. It was almost like he knew I was going to shoot him. And he didn't. He was just going to check another scrape, but because I watched him go do it. But
yeah.
He needed to step out another 5 yards and didn't do it.
So we'll do that first weekend for 3 days, and then we'll go back down in November for a week.
Yeah.
If need be.
We will.
I can't imagine
us both shooting one.
It's conflicting there because the rut in Ohio where we hunt's at least 2 weeks later than ours.
Yeah.
And we're coming to find out that from guys that we've talked to that are hunting down there that even gets into Thanksgiving week.
Right.
Which our season's done by then, but...
Yeah.
We're conflicted because we go down our last week here, which is Pennsylvania's best week to hunt. So last year we said maybe we get down there, get the job done, get back here. It didn't happen, but that was the hope.
No, it took every bit of our whole week there, and then I even talked you into staying another day.
You did, and it worked.
Thank God.
Yeah, well, if we're going to do stuff like that, yeah. We'll stay the extra day every time.
That's right.
And I'll take the Pennsylvania 6-point I had to settle for last year, but that's okay. We put a lot of time in last year, and I was satisfied with that.
Yeah. Well, so on top of that, at least I might, and you might also hunt Maryland this year. We're not sure how that's going to play out.
I'm not making any promises. I might end up with Scott.
I will go with Scott if he lets me.
Might need some people to pack meat.
Yeah. I'm not going there just to pack meat. I like you and everything, but...
Hey, yeah. Road trip.
Yeah.
Right.
How long of a drive do you think that's going to be?
I couldn't even tell you.
You're into the 30-hour range, I'm sure.
Definitely 2 days. And we're taking one truck, two guys.
Well, enough about us. Let's talk about that. Why don't you talk about it? So, At what time of the year are you going out there?
Well, I was fortunate enough to, me and a guy I work with, pretty good buddies, we drew an elk tag in Colorado this year. So, yeah, we're heading out. Well, the kids go to school. What is that? August 28th.
Yep.
And we're gonna you're right on the doorstep.
Yeah, we're going to leave that weekend. The season actually starts the 26th of August, if I'm correct. But we don't want to get there too early. We're planning on only being out there 2 weeks, possibly a third, depending on how it's going. We just don't want to get there too early and then be leaving right whenever they're getting into the, hunting's getting good with them being in the rut.
Right. And how does, I'm sure you've done the research on it, how does their rut progress? And what time does it progress?
It's tough. It just really, there's a lot of factors from what, with weather. But this year, from what one guy was saying, is supposed to be phenomenal because of the moon phasing. Mm-hmm. And if you can hit it right, it's going to be crazy because they're going to be rutting hard in daylight hours because of the way the moon is.
Yeah,
it's going to be dark at night.
Do you believe that the moon plays a factor?
I think a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe so, too. I mean...
Do you?
Yeah, why not?
Well, I don't know. I don't.
We got some conflicting...
on our Deer Biologist podcast.
Yeah, they didn't seem to think so at all, but I'm not sure I completely agree with that. I guess, I don't know. But anyhow, this is your first trip.
Right? Yeah, this is our first
trip. What about the guy you're going with? Has he been out before?
He lived in Wyoming for a short, and he's done some hunting out there.
Has he had any success in an elk?
No. They went elk hunting, and it was different.
So this is a gun hunt or a bow
hunt? He was on a gun hunt before.
I mean, yours is
no, it's archery.
Oh, you're doing strictly archery?
Yep, the tag we drew is limited entry archery only.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That'd be the way I'd want to do it anyway. Yep. I mean, I would definitely do a rifle hunt, but, man, that would be awesome to arrow one.
Yep, and there's no ATVs allowed. I mean...
So you either have to horseback it or hike it.
Yep, horseback it or hike it. There's a lot of outfitters west of where we're going. I don't know how many outfitters are going to be where we're at, but...
You guys are just strictly doing this 100% on your
DIY,
own?
DIY. Just did a lot of research online. The guy I'm going with, he got a Go Hunt subscription, and that changed the game because originally... We were just going to go out and get an over-the-counter tag.
Yeah.
And then just go from there. But he got the Go Hunt, and he started looking, and he's like, oh, my God. There's all these units you can draw with 0 to 1 points. He's like, our odds would have to be better in a draw area than they would be in an over-the-counter area.
I would think so, yeah.
Did you tell us?
As far as success rate,
Did you tell us what state it was yet?
Colorado. Yep.
Colorado. Yep. Yeah. So you guys drew a tag.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yep. We went to his house and he had a couple different units picked out and we sent in and
so I got a question. If you both put in for a tag and only one of you draws, did you have an understanding before that you were going to go anyway with him and vice versa, he would go with you, or did that discussion not happen?
I had told him that, yeah. I'm like, I don't care.
Because we've talked about that.
He had been applying for Wyoming for a couple years because his brother lives there.
So he has some points for Wyoming.
Yeah, he's got some points there. And I always told him before, I think it was last year, I said, if you draw, dude, I'll go.
Oh, yeah.
I'll go just to hang out.
But you guys got a party tag, right?
Yes, and that's what I was getting ready to say. Oh, we applied as a group, and he was the group leader. So if the group leader gets it, then everybody in that group gets it. And whether there's two guys or six guys, everybody gets.
So how many times have you looked at those maps?
A couple.
I'll bet.
A couple.
Yeah.
Yep.
You have a game plan then for a base camp to start, or?
Yeah, we've been talking about that here.
How do you come up with that plan? Just strictly looking at the maps?
Looking at elevation, because depending on how warm it is, mm-hmm. you know, the elk are probably going to be high. So yeah. It's just going to be get as high as you can. And then there's only a few spots in this unit we got that are up around 10,000. So just hit those areas, you know, one of those areas. And
yeah. So you're going to let it mainly be weather dependent then when you get there to start?
No.
I mean,
no. From rain or shine, buddy.
No, I mean, depending on where you're going to start, high or low. Or
oh, no. Yeah, it's probably going to be warm.
You planning on working a base camp and then moving from there, or are you just going to move
I think we're just going to go day to day. I mean, we might set up and then get up high, glass, look, see if we can find some elk, and then if we don't see anything, then
start
break down the next day, next morning, and then move around somewhere else and set up and just keep just trying to get on them. I'll be excited if we get on elk,
yeah.
to be honest with you.
Oh, I would too.
Being as it's a first year, I'd love to be successful, but just to get on elk and to put one stalk on would be...
Even to get close enough.
Yeah,
it'd be really cool if you got into some bugling. And,
yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's like turkey hunting for monsters, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, really.
You know what I'd like to do this year is... when they start rutting around here, I'd like to get out and listen and maybe record some. I mean, it's pretty, they're not difficult to find around here whenever they're rutting.
Uh-huh.
So,
I remember the first time I heard a buck grunting in the woods, I was like, whoa, this makes a hair stand up a little bit. What the hell was that?
Yeah. it's different, that's for sure. So, what have you been doing to prepare?
Lots of hiking.
Yeah.
Yeah, with weight.
So what do? You
just I have 50 pounds mm-hmm. of gravel in a backpack.
Get out.
Yeah.
You're throwing 50 pounds of
total
gravel.
Total weight with the pack and the gravel. So I mean the gravel doesn't weigh 50, but total package is 50 pounds. And then just at least once a weekend trying to get out and put 3 to 7 miles on somewhere. We just did that Friday. We went out, hiked the Blue Dot Trail.
Yeah.
And we had a pretty good pace going on. We did 7 miles from the reservoir, then up to the Bloom Road to the top of the mountain, and we did that in about 3 hours.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I did some hiking at that similar elevation whenever I was out in Montana. The climb, I think I want to say the first mile, it was 1,000 feet in that mile.
That's brutal.
It was rough, man. It was rough. And I had my pack on. It was mm-hmm. probably about 50 pounds.
It don't take long to add up weight.
Yeah.
Because ounces are equal pounds.
Yep.
Pounds equal pain.
So what are you going to try and keep your pack at?
I got antsy this winter and just kind of threw some... bunch of stuff in my bag that I thought I would take, and before food and water I was at 26-27 pounds.
But well, that's not bad. That's why I asked you about the base camp. I know some guys that typically set up close to the truck or have a cabin that they're leaving from, and they'll leave the majority of their food and stuff there and then hike back maybe twice through their trip. But you're planning on the whole way going with...
Yep. I'm hoping that my total weight pack going in with all my food, because there's water in a lot of spots. We shouldn't have no problems.
Are you going to take a purifying pump, or are you going to take tablets?
I'm probably going to take both. I have a gravity filter, and then I use either purification tabs. I just picked up some MSR Aqua tabs.
Yep.
They're real. Man, they're so small. But take both.
Have you tried that yet? Does it taste any different?
The old iodine pills I've used before.
Yeah.
And I always mixed a little Kool-Aid in there.
Right, because you don't want to be tasting
no.
that.
They make stuff now that you do the iodine, shake it up, and then you can put another tablet in there and it takes the iodine taste out of it. But I haven't tried that.
I was explaining on a previous podcast when we went in to do that hike. I've done lots and lots of hiking in my years, and I bought a purifying pump years ago, and it served me really well. Well, I get there and the dang thing wasn't working. So I was relying on everybody else for water and boiling water.
And I'll tell you, though, after that story, that was
Tyler
France that was on with us that got really sick from drinking. Giardia.
Yeah, I listened to that.
Hope you're feeling better, Tyler. But how about it? I'm not going to do that anymore. I'll have something with me because, like I told him, we said that night, I've countless times have drank out of the springs.
You guys didn't get it in 85?
No.
You don't remember that?
I wasn't.
You weren't here yet?
Yeah.
No, but my mom got really sick.
Yeah, I did too.
She got it really bad.
I think we all got it in my house.
Really?
Yeah.
I got it in Mexico. I got sick in Mexico.
Woo. Montezuma's revenge.
It was it was bad, man. I was young, but it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
So on top of that, you know, what are you going to do? Dehydrated food or?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you're going in, you're camping, you're there, you're out in the woods the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, we're on our own. As far as we're talking about going in, it's going to be a hike out, 6 miles or better. And then, but so, food-wise, I'll probably take some mountain houses.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too crazy with them because the sodium in them is just through the roof.
Right.
There's another company called Heather's Choice that my buddy's going to get a package of them, I think. And it's more all natural, more protein, low sodium, He's going to try them out.
Because food can add up in a hurry, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff in the grocery store that you can get on a budget
I know.
That work. I mean,
ramen?
Oh, ramen and even... If you don't mind noodles a lot, Knorr's makes noodles and rice like a million different combinations and dehydrated potatoes and
See, I could eat everything the same for a week. I would be all right with
the way they package tuna and some salmon now too.
Yeah.
It's
those Zaire-type packs or whatever.
That's what we did when we went on that trip to Montana. I took tuna and even mayonnaise for because they come in packages. They're fine until you open it.
Mm-hmm.
Once you open it, then you're done. You just buy those little packets of them, or you can get
the other thing too is olive oil. I mean, if you're, they say you should try and do 100 calories an ounce, to get enough for the day, and then go from that. But adding olive oil when you're boiling your noodles,
bumps
your calorie intake up. So,
how do you plan on, or what are your, what are you going to do to protect yourself? And by that, I mean from grizzlies, wolves. Does Colorado have any kind of law that you can carry a firearm with you while you're bow hunting or not?
I never really looked into it, to be honest with you. I've spent countless numbers in the nights in Pennsylvania and never had any problems with bears. I know it's a lot vaster wilderness out there.
Yeah, I just wondered if you were going to do anything or if that thought...
I've been told that the protection permit, it reciprocates to Colorado if you have it for Pennsylvania, but I don't have that, so never really looked into it.
You, no can of bear spray or anything like that?
No.
Not worried about it at all, huh?
No. I mean, I'm definitely going to hang my food and stuff. I'll hang it away from camp.
I got to say, ever came down to the situation, I don't want to have to grab my bow and knock an arrow and draw it back.
I got a pocket knife.
Oh, you're good, Dad.
I don't... Well, grizzlies aren't quite so prevalent there, are they?
No, they have more black bear than grizzly. Yeah. And I don't know what their wolf situation's like there.
I don't know either.
Have any. I don't think so.
No?
I don't think. I can check on
it. If they do, it's not. It's more towards
the northern
Yellowstone.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't tell us where you were going. Are you going to give us a...
It's around Gunnison.
Yeah. That should be good, man. So, did you get any special gear for the trip?
Just my pack, basically. It's a little heavier pack. It's made by Cafaro. It was a little bit of money, but it'll probably be the last pack I ever buy in my entire life.
Yep.
And if it holds up the way they say it will, my kids will use it.
Yep. I have some camping equipment, my sleeping bag, I have a backpack,
yeah,
stuff that I got 30 years mm-hmm. ago. Now, I don't always use that stuff because it's heavier.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
But...
yeah, I've had some stuff from the past that I've had since I was in Scouts, and over the years I just slowly been buying up stuff because I knew once my boys got older we'd be starting to do that stuff. For sure. So like when I see things are on a deal, I'm like, oh, Ethan's gonna need a bag or whatever, so I'll snatch a bag up if it's a good deal. And
right. Yeah.
So there are wolves in Colorado, but I think they're few and far between.
Yeah.
I think it's like just a couple packs here and there. So
I just wondered. I mean, that thought crossed my mind when it was an archery hunt. I didn't know if
Tommy might be taking one. I didn't really bring it up with him.
I didn't know what their laws were, but I know.
Yeah.
I know some guys that have been out there that have had different encounters, not any kind of deadly encounter or attack like that. But
we went through a whole class for grizzlies. They had to teach you what to do if something happened. We were in Yellowstone.
Yeah.
And you had to tie your food up every night.
Oh, yeah.
And everything like that. But they put you in this little tiny trailer, and you had to watch a video, and then you had to sign like a waiver.
we're not responsible for you being...
Basically, that's what they were saying, man.
Yeah.
And can you blame them?
No.
Well, no.
Right?
As many people that go through there every year.
Yeah. And you get people doing stupid stuff, right? They're like, oh, look how cute that grizzly bear is.
That's everybody's conception of bears. That's why. Yeah. If you ever listen to the Gritty Bowman, they had Rogan on there, him and Cameron Haynes, and they were talking about the hierarchy of dead animals, how he posted fish, nobody cared, turkey, nobody cared. He put just a bag of bear meat,
mm-hmm.
but it said bear. And then he got a little bit of response, and then you post a picture of a dead bear. He's like, I've never got so much hate mail in my life.
Yeah.
So.
And I think, didn't Rogan save his life from, didn't he shoot something that was charging after him?
I couldn't tell you.
I thought I heard that somewhere, read that somewhere. So, you'll be there for 2 weeks. Is it 1 week on, and then you're going to come back in for a little bit? And
Yep, we're planning on taking 5-6 days worth of rations and food and head in, see what we can do. When we start running out of food, start deciding when we need to head out, and it'll be nice because 5-6 days like that can be pretty rough.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you're on the move constantly, get a hot shower,
sleep
in a real bed, and restock and head back out.
It'll be something that you'll never forget, though.
That'll be fun.
Yeah,
be a good time.
It'd be nice to do that every year, but every other year would probably be phenomenal.
Yeah,
if you can pull it off.
Even if you can do that,
right?
So, do you have anything left open for this year with whitetail hunting, or did you get everything taken care of that you wanted to?
Not our work's been super busy for me this year, and there's things that that I'd looked at last year, because if I know that my spring's going to be real busy with work, I usually try and scout a lot during rifle season. I'll try and check out new areas while I'm rifle hunting.
And you shot a coyote with your rifle, didn't you?
Yep.
Yeah, yep. That was during
rifle, buck season.
Yeah.
Did you eat it?
No, and if I knew Cody had such a hard-on for it, I would have cut him off a hunk.
I gave him the whole damn thing.
I did get a hat made, though. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw that. That was cool. It was a cool hat. You should have wore it tonight.
I should have. There's lots of stuff I could have brought over tonight.
Yeah,
your hat and a steak for Cody.
I did bring over some new gear that I...
Yeah, I'm going to check that out before you leave.
So, I think that's really cool, man. I think our plan is to do that at some point in time.
Yeah.
We're just not sure where, and hopefully next year.
Are you, obviously you're probably not packing any film gear or anything.
No, just phone.
Any special camera or anything? Yeah.
I don't think, I thought about it. I have a little Sony I might throw in the bag. It's not.
Well,
that stuff's pretty good these days, picture-wise.
Oh, yeah. If you're anywhere around service at any of that point, you better keep us updated. Cause
I think we might be
thinking
okay.
about it the whole time.
There might be some. My wife's worried about that.
Well, I'm not worried about you keeping in touch with me that way.
No,
I just want to know how your hunt's going. We're going to be vicariously living through you there for a couple weeks. I want to know how things are going while you're out there if you have a chance.
I'll keep everybody up to date.
That'd be awesome.
So shooting-wise, what have you been practicing to be ready for those? Because it's longer distances out there.
Yeah.
Bigger targets, but
it is.
Distances.
It's a bigger target, but still, it's
right.
You want to be prepared. Trying to get back as much as I can to 80, and then do 10% of that. So if I can get a couple arrows in an 8-inch circle, I'm pretty happy.
Yeah.
Now, I shoot at a 6-inch circle. I don't try to do a little better, but.
And you're not planning on taking an 80 yard shot?
No, not now.
Yeah. No. But
I don't want to.
Right.
You can't say that you won't.
It would you can't say that you won't, but things would have to, stars would have to align and satellites will have to link up.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
80 yards is a long way.
It is.
I know we practice that all the time.
But it's different when there's an animal in front of you compared to just a target.
That's right. And even at that, you know, sometimes we do really well at 80 yards.
I'm not confident enough to shoot anything at 80 yards. Right. I wouldn't do it.
I agree. Same here.
There's guys that are that confident, but
yeah,
I'm just being honest. I'm not going to do it.
They're doing it. They're shooting at 120 yards or whatever.
We don't even have that option.
No, I can't.
I think the farthest we can get is 90 yards when we're shooting there.
But even on top of that, I would have to put a different pin on.
Well, I would too. I can get 80 with my pin, but
I don't even know. I switched sights again. So
yeah, you told me.
I've been back to 80. I can get more.
That should work well for there, though.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Went to a 5-pin.
And you dialing that in too though? Or is it just a 5-pin straight?
It's a 5-pin slider. So I have 20 to 60 on pins, and then my 60-yard pin, I use it for on the slider.
Mm-hmm.
So 70, 80, whatever it would go to.
I
haven't been back any farther than 80.
Oh, I was going to ask you, if you crank down to
I can crank it down to rip the fletchings off.
That's what I meant. Yeah. Does it gets to a point where your fletchings are going to hit your sight unless you've got...
It was the same way with my HHA too.
Yeah,
I think whenever I had it on, I think I could get 95 is what I figured I could get with it. But I never shot that far. I always just shot 80. But when I was doing some figuring on gap distance between all the different yardages, I think I could have got 95.
I think that if you can shoot those long distances when you're practicing, if you're good enough to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You should do it.
I think so too. It helped me for sure.
Yeah.
Because if you double what you want to shoot at.
Well, and for anybody who thinks that it's not going to work or it's ridiculous to do that, just go to 50 at some time or 60, whatever you can get. Shoot 10 or 15 arrows.
Yeah.
Then walk up to 20 or 25 and just see what it did for that. Yeah. I guarantee it made a huge improvement on your 25-yard shot.
Without a doubt.
So anything you do longer range, at that long range, any kind of torque you put in your hand, any kind of movement that you make, if you're not staying in your shot,
it forces everything.
That's right.
Forces you to stay in. And
especially whenever you're flinging $10, $20 arrows down through.
Oh, the, yeah.
You know, because you don't want to lose those.
Well, I notice it makes a difference because last year when I shot that buck, I had my pack on, mm-hmm. and with my, I had all the straps and chest strap, had my sticks on the back, so there's a little bit of weight, and I missed that buck because my pack was compressing my shoulders.
Yeah, and you couldn't get the full.
I didn't. My form was off. Because right. I went, it bothered me that bad that the next day after I looked and looked for my arrow and couldn't find it, it had to have been buried in that field because the grass was super high. And I didn't use a lighted nock that year.
Right.
And I set my deer target up, shot without my pack. Money.
Nope.
Put the pack on, wrenched all the straps down, shot, hit that deer target in the leg every time. Low, low.
There's a new lighted knockout by Nocturnal that's an HD. Have you seen how bright that thing is? It is unbelievable, the difference between like that.
Is it the one that flashes?
You can get it in a flashing
yeah.
style, but they have it in orange and green and red, and it is 10 times brighter than the knock that I'm shooting.
I'm due for some.
I have to get them because I changed arrows this year. So.
Oh, yeah.
You say I was Luminoc or Nocturnal?
Luminoc. Yep. Luminoc HD is what it's called. Hmm. And if you can see, even just their old Luminoc, which everybody already said was the brightest,
mm-hmm.
that compared to their HD now, it's like...
Whew. I was using the Nocturnals.
Yeah, I was.
Green. Too. Nocturnal green. I seem to like those.
Oh, well, I told you that day you shot that.
Yeah.
That other buck. I was coming out across the field and I thought, who's got a lantern down there?
That's what he said to me. He sent me a text. He said, who's down there with you? Who's got the flashlight out in the field? I said, that's my Nocturnal. And he's like, seriously? I was like, yeah, it lit up the whole freaking field, it looked like. But
yeah. It was cool.
Yeah.
I think those are, if you're hunting without them, well, I didn't find mine last year either. Yeah, and there's a Bluetooth tracking.
It's getting ready to come out. I just listened to a podcast on it earlier this week.
Bluetooth can only get so far, though, right?
So yep.
You can only get so...
They're trying to figure out if you're going to be able to hunt with. I mean, you're going to be able to buy them, but mm-hmm. I don't know if places are going to let you use them or not. Because we're just now getting to where we're allowed to use lighted nocks, right?
Yeah, that and range finders.
Yep.
This is the first year we're able to use a rangefinder.
Yep.
Not that we didn't use rangefinder.
Well, we went through this once, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just trying to make an ethical kill, and if by some means that doesn't happen... That lighted knock or that Bluetooth insert is going to help you recover a bad shot way easier than just...
Well, it's at least going to be able to let you find your arrow. Because if it sticks in, eventually it's going to break off.
Yeah.
And it might put you on the right path to getting back on that animal.
Absolutely, because how many times have you heard of a bad shot or made a bad shot yourself and... You track that deer for 100 yards or so, and then all of a sudden it quits bleeding. Mm-hmm. Well, that Nocturnal gives you a chance to go beyond that point sometimes. If, like he said, either A, that arrow breaks off and falls out, it might fall out somewhere past that loss of that blood trail.
Yep,
exactly.
You know, number two, if you don't get a pass through and that deer ends up dying with that arrow in it, you could recover your animal that way too.
Well, it's the... Especially with the bigger animals in the early season and just be the point of recovering and salvaging meat or not salvaging meat.
Yeah, and if people want to call it cheating or whatever, go ahead. But I'm just trying to do the best
thing. I don't see how it gives you an advantage hunting-wise.
No.
It gives you an advantage recovering your deer, though.
It's just ethics. It's just something that ethically...
Why would you not want that?
And you still have to do your job
as
an archer to practice.
Yep.
Oh, it's not going to make you a better shot. No.
Well, and it's not even if you make a bad shot, it's still not going to help.
Well, you know, okay.
I mean, to a point.
I understand. It's not an excuse for not practicing.
That's what I'm getting at, yeah.
Because, hey, now all of a sudden I can pull a bad shot and my nocturnal's going to show me where that deer is. That's
no. You still have to do your job throughout the year and practice.
I completely agree with that.
Yeah. Well,
but it's, you're right. As far as that Bluetooth thing goes, there's a lot of questions to be answered there, though. Because you take a Bluetooth speaker and you walk
15 feet away,
it starts breaking up on you.
Supposedly, they have it to where you can go like 100 yards.
Well, that's a game changer there. Game changer number 753. Yeah.
They ought to put that technology in those speakers then, too. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I wonder why.
I don't know.
We don't need to get into that.
No, we're not going to go there, but
yeah.
I would have to see that to believe it. I'm not doubting it. I just want to see it.
You can pre-order now.
Oh, can you?
Yeah, they're not out yet.
And now, bet they're not cheap.
No, it's $40 for one.
Yeah. Wow. I will be passing on the Bluetooth.
A three-pack, what'd they say was going to be? Well, it was going to be over $100 for
now,
sure.
Now, wait a second,
Steve. I ain't doing it.
Wait a second, Steve.
Don't. Go ahead.
I want to know.
Go ahead.
If 2 years ago, 2 years ago when you shot that buck, you wouldn't have paid $40 to find that buck?
That's a good question. I probably would have.
Right.
But I never recovered that nocturnal either. That thing, you said.
I saw
it. You saw it. Because I didn't get a pass-through on that deer. We ended up recovering the deer, thankfully. And the meat was still good. We had to wait till the next morning. But
oh, no, I was talking about the other one. The other buck you shot. The one we didn't recover.
Oh, the one I shot in the pouring rain.
Yep.
Well, that's rough right there. It just washes everything away.
And it never stopped raining all night
long. Well, I guess there it wouldn't have mattered because we found your arrow anyways.
I did. I got a pass-through on that deer. Right. Well, I hit a bad spot in it, I think. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah. But you would have paid $40 to find that.
Absolutely. I would pay $140 right now today to find out what happened to that deer.
Right.
I'm still sick in my stomach when I think about that. Thanks for bringing it up, by the way.
It's not so bad when you're paying $20 for your tag, but when you pay $600 for a tag or $300 or...
I didn't sleep for a week, though, just knowing that maybe something else could have been done to recover that animal. I mean, honest to God.
It was an emotional roller coaster.
That was a really bad emotional roller coaster.
I remember.
And only anybody that's ever been in that situation knows.
You were getting ready to quit hunting.
When I hit something, I expect to recover it every time, 100%. And when I that makes me feel bad.
I felt the same way last year whenever I couldn't recover my buck.
I know it happens.
Or the one buck,
People telling you that this happened to me and it's going to happen, that doesn't make you feel better about it. It's just the way I feel when I get... It makes me sick inside because now I'm the reason that something's mortally wounded and I can't recover it or couldn't recover it. Right. The whole opposite reason you're doing this in the first place, you know. I'm out to make an ethical kill. I'm out to find it. I'm out to legally take it and consume it and eat it and, you know.
Yeah.
Makes me sick. That's all I'm going to say. It makes me sick in my stomach.
I know exactly.
But it happens. You know, I mean, I know it happens. It's probably going to happen again, but I'm going to feel the same way again.
Yep.
I did everything right. Just something, the shot wasn't right, and the weather wasn't right.
Maybe
we pushed it a little bit too hard that night before we decided to back off. And then we go in the next morning and there's absolutely zero. Couldn't find the blood that we had saw the night before because it poured rain all night.
Yeah.
Now you're on a grid search with a few guys and just trying to make a recovery and couldn't do it for that whole entire next day. And I looked in and out the rest of the time we were down there and never found. I mean, it just, I don't want to talk about it anymore. Let's move on.
All right. So, you have any final thoughts?
No.
On anything that we talked about tonight?
Other than the fact that we're all feel like we're not quite
ready
for the season, which is a bummer, which I don't know. Maybe that's just...
Okay.
We're just going to feel like that every
this
year.
This is like the Debbie Downer
well, I'm taking part of the show. Your role.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Isn't that the truth?
How freaking excited are you, though,
about
that trip coming up? You're only like 3 weeks out. Yeah. You've got to be pumped.
I'm pumped.
Pumped.
Super pumped.
You're ready for that. Your pack's probably been packed and unpacked and packed and unpacked.
No, it's sweaty hanging in the garage right now.
With a bag full of rocks in it. Yeah.
Gravel.
Yep, it's drying out. We hiked a section of the Appalachian Trail. It was rough. You were saying about the 1,000 feet in a mile. Yeah. Yeah, it was like that there, too. Yeah. And it was just brock.
Yeah.
Super. My knees were beat up for a day.
I would say what I found to make a huge difference is a walking stick on your knees.
Why, I do.
Oh,
I have,
okay.
Yeah, I have trekking poles, and my buddy called me a sissy.
Right.
And then I smoked him coming out of Liquor Run one earlier this year, and then
he has
trekking poles.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I said, just try them out. You'll be amazed that you get your upper body into it. You can go a lot faster, or just takes it easier on your legs.
Especially your knees.
Yeah, especially on a downhill. Yep. You get a little more stability.
Yeah. And with all that weight up top, you need something.
Yep.
We're not getting any younger.
No.
We used to do hikes. We did parts of the Appalachian Trail, the Allegheny Front. We were hiking all around the state. And the first couple hikes in, I was like, I think somebody... Although we were hiking with an older guy, and he had a walking stick or, you know, whatever. And I was like, you need that walking stick for it. Well, I found out we did a 20-mile hike in a day.
Yeah.
And my knees hurt so bad. I don't think they've ever hurt like that before. So I went and bought a walking stick.
I will say he was beating me up on that rock trail.
Was he?
Yeah. He was beating me because he was picking on me the next day.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, he was bragging to all the guys at work. Yeah. Yeah. Scotty, he was lagging behind. I said, man, I just can't take that going down off and then back up on. I said, man, I've broken my femur twice.
Oh, yeah.
Knee surgery.
You've been through some rough shit with those legs.
So I don't want you carrying me out of the woods.
A good piece of advice that I got from a guy I used to hike with all the time, he would rest in between steps. Like, actually try in your mind to rest your body in between steps. And if you think about it while you're doing it, it makes a huge difference. Because, you know, most of the time you're just hiking long, you know.
Well, I know if you don't pack your bag right, man, that can be brutal. I mean, you get weight too high or too low.
Yeah,
and that makes all the difference.
If it's all on your hips,
or you want the majority of it on your hips,
or if it's all on your shoulders,
it's all on your shoulders. You're done.
So, Steve, do you have any concluding thoughts? Any final thoughts about anything we talked about, or anything at all?
I'm pumped.
Yeah.
What we saw today, we're pretty pumped. We're getting closer. It's going to be on us before we know it. I'm excited for Scott. I can't wait to see how that goes.
You guys didn't talk about what your game plan was for those cameras, or don't you want to talk about it?
Oh, yeah, we can talk about that. That's not a problem. We put those cameras out, and, well, Steve touched on it briefly. There's a change in our mindset with game cameras. We're going to let them sit all year.
We may not even hunt some of those areas that we put those cameras in now because... Like I told him, I said, this is probably the very last weekend we're going to be able to go into anywhere that we want to hunt. Unless maybe we go in and you're completely scent free, your clothes are washed, you know, you got everything
dead. And you can get in and out without disturbing anything. It's to that point.
People don't realize, though, that now's when we should have been done before now. You shouldn't really go back now. But the problem with our public ground is, and especially the guys that are going to hunt archery, somebody's going to be in there. Typically, most guys around here that you know aren't even going to start scouting for another week or two, or they're going to go in and they're going to start cleaning their trees out a week or two
before maybe even later than that.
Yeah.
You know.
So just because we stay out doesn't mean that some of these places we're in on public aren't going to be bothered by humans.
Well, they certainly will be. I can guarantee you that. There's nowhere that you can go in Pennsylvania that doesn't have a road within, 2 miles of it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The problem with late prep is it triggers those bucks to the start of hunting season.
To go nocturnal earlier. Yeah.
It's like rifle season out by my camp. I mean, that's Saturday and Sunday, everybody's shooting rifles behind camp.
Like they don't know what's going on.
Same thing.
Right.
I mean, it starts the internal survival
clock. Ringing the bell like, leave.
Uh-huh.
And those big, smart bucks.
That's why I go out and do that out at Steve's camp. He's like, hey, come up here and shoot. Sounds good to me.
We do it every year.
Yeah.
We've killed some nice bucks out there, too, doing it that way. But they know.
But it is, you're leaving them out. Mm-hmm. I did that with one. We were talking earlier. I should have hunted there this year.
You were telling me about that.
What'd you see?
There's
you
probably
and I
five different bucks in there, and three of them were
shooters.
Yeah, for sure. And they all made it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So
you've seen them.
Yeah. I have them right up until, what was that, June 30th. I think I got that.
So is that where you'll be hunting?
I'd like to.
Well, see, that's the whole thought process is we're not going to probably go in there this year maybe, but we're going to know.
Mm.
For next year, you'll be able to see the whole... So that's what basically what you did is what we're trying to do. You saw the whole year, the whole season.
I had it down there before archery season last year, and I kept checking, and it looked like a good area, and I had some good picks, and I drug a stand down. It's a long ways in there, and I'm like, this stand's going to rot. I'm never taking it out of here. Yeah. It's too far, but...
Did you...
I hunted it once, and that was it.
Did you go back through those picks and put any wind direction correlations or anything like that to
it? I don't have a wind app. I need to get with you on that.
No, you can.
Wonderground.
Yeah. Wonderground.
Yep.
Write that down.
Wonderground.com. You can go and get the history of every. Right?
Yeah, so you can look.
Every day. For
at all the past winds. You can tell. Watch that deer movement and tell what wind that deer was coming in on a particular day. Because
there was definite dates on there that I have logged it.
It's like, what's going on that day?
Yeah.
Right? Why?
It was like from one day and then for like a week or so. Like,
It
was awesome in there.
So, will you try to hunt those same times?
Yeah. If I get that wind information... Just to see how it was when they were
there. See if there's any correlation whatsoever.
And then, probably just go back through and just check the calendar, too, with the dates on that and give it a go. Because it was later. It was, what would have been, October 20th.
Yeah. Well, that's early enough.
Yeah.
That'd be great for us.
Late. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
And it was warm here. It didn't get cold till like the last week of archery. It was chilly in the morning, but then we had a lot of rain too.
It was the last week of archery. It was in the single digits.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily I had my...
And they were still running. Because that last Saturday, that's when I told you I got caught by that one walking.
Yep.
It was on the ground. Got too impatient, stepped out around a tree, and there he was.
It happens.
It does.
It's going to happen again, too.
Yep. That's what makes it exciting, though.
Yeah.
So, I've seen more deer since I've become an archer than ever as a rifle hunter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Well,
more opportunities.
Yep. And it's that time of year. They're getting busy. They're moving around. So that was our idea. You know, this year we're going to let those cameras sit. We might pull a couple here and there. If it's something we can get into and get out of, or if we're going to hunt it, check it whenever we go to hunt it.
We're not going to be completely opposed to hunting those areas. And if I'm going to hunt there, I'll pull the card on the way in. Of course, well, I'm not going to say it. We hung a couple in places today you're not going to be able to get to because...
You're going in, if you're going to hunt it, yeah, you're going to...
That's what I've found, too, more is going way back. I mean, that doe, it was a mile and a quarter, mile and a half from the dirt road.
Yeah.
The only hopes with putting them out there and leaving them there is that people respect your property and let them where they are.
Well, that one camera we hung up there.
That's what I was trying to say, but I didn't want to say it because then all of a sudden you got people walking around.
Looking up. Yeah, we
nobody looks up.
No. We hung one up there. It was probably...
There's some guys that look up for acorns, but...
Well, if you want to steal our game cams, you're going to need a ladder to get to them.
There you 12, go.
And 12, people aren't feet. That ambitious, I can tell. If it's that far back in there.
I don't know. I've seen people do some weird stuff, so we'll just hope so.
Just despite.
Well, I don't know what it's for, but... I can't understand.
Well, I know that it makes me sick when people steal other people's property. I come across a lot of game cameras. A
lot of tree stands.
A lot of tree stands.
We just saw two today.
Yeah.
We saw two Saturday.
Could have had them both if we wanted them. Now, what's the point?
There is none.
Make any sense.
That's karma.
That's right.
That's just respect for the next guy that's doing the same exact thing you're trying to do. Yeah.
So my final thought would be definitely along the lines of get out there and shoot. I mean, I brought it up before, but it's important.
Yeah, and if you're going to clean your tree out or get in there and hang cameras, do it right now.
Yeah, I should have done it a week or two.
Should have been done, but do it right now. Last chance.
Or a month ago.
And then get your ass out of the woods because we want it to settle down before the season.
Yeah. Yeah. And that first sit, I mean,
that's an important one.
It is. So,
if the deer aren't being pressured beforehand,
yeah, we're usually good till the muzzleloader season comes in. Then there's that week where,
yeah, I agree with you. And then you get the youth. There's the youth season in there too.
Oh, don't.
Which
get
I'm
me
all
started.
For that,
Steve.
I'm all for.
I despise that mid archery season gun hunt.
Oh, the muzzleloader?
No, the rifle. Both
of them. Oh.
There's time. There's I'm time to the put that. Hunt. That's right before our rut's just getting ready to start kicking in.
I could see both sides of that because you want the youth hunters to have success, right? But
I understand. I'm not against any.
But you could have it just following the archery season and they'd have even more success.
There's different times of the year this could be implemented.
You're being selfish, Steve.
If they want to do it on a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, then open it up on Thanksgiving Day. Yeah. I'm not opposed to them going out and shooting doe for 3 days before buck season opens.
I agree.
Yeah. I can't say nothing about that early muzzleloader because I used to hunt it before I got into archery.
And did you have fun doing
yeah.
it? Yeah.
I didn't use an inline. I used a black powder percussion. Yeah.
I shot... I never hunted with one of those, but I shot one of those a few times. It is certainly different.
Oh, yeah.
You're like...
I waffled a doe.
And then you're like, kaboom, afterwards.
Because I wasn't shooting a round ball. I was shooting a 45 caliber hollow point round. I had a black plastic jacket. It was the only thing I could get to shoot out of that gun. And it was one shot. When the smoke cleared, it was done.
Yeah.
Didn't go right in its tracks.
I think the whole understanding behind the early season and the time that it's put in, though, has something to do with does being taken before they're bred. So yeah. I'm sure there's science behind it. I just don't like the particular science that's behind this one. But there's everything's done for a reason. I'm just being a little selfish here, maybe, but I just... Mm-hmm. It changes the archery game when you put a whole bunch of rifle hunters in the woods with you, especially when it's sitting right on top of a lot of potential rut movement. Mm-hmm. It changes the game makes it a little harder, but
just deeper. That's the...
Yeah, you're not going to have kids backing no. very far.
You just got to go deeper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even muzzleloader. Nobody's really taking a muzzleloader very far.
No, I ran across some guys in that early muzzleloader season where, and I was like, hit the last one there. And
yeah.
I was another mile away from them by the time I got where I was going.
They had opened up the gates for that, right?
Yes.
So yep. that changes things.
Well, too. It changes it for them. Yeah. Changes and most of them, they only hunt in them food plots, and that's it.
Right.
Yeah. They're not going way back.
Right.
So who wants to drag one that far?
So this is the part of the show where we do our beer recommendations. I personally am going to do one from Seattle. Whenever I was out there, we stopped in Pike Market, I think is what it's called. Really cool place. They were like throwing fish, you know.
Yeah.
It like fresh fish that was just coming in.
Right off the boat.
Right off the boat. Really cool stuff, right? But super crowded. They had a brewery there called Pike Brewing Company. And the beer was better than what I expected for the area that we were in. You know, you get into those spots where you're tourist traps or yeah. whatever it is. And that's what Pike Market is. It's a tourist trap. It's cool to see. But so we stopped in there for lunch.
So it's one of those places where if a brewer goes in, people are going to drink it no matter what it tastes like because you're in a place that's cool. So the yeah. beer has to be good, right?
Right. It was actually good.
Yeah.
It was
pleasantly surprised.
I was pleasantly surprised. And there were a lot of times where I was let down during that trip as far as the beer goes. Because you're thinking, like, I'm on the West Coast. I'm in, like, beer Mecca, right? A lot of places I stopped in, I was like, ah, that's, like, I've had better beer in some of the dumpiest breweries that I've ever been in.
Some of the, yeah. Well, I don't think it matters so much anymore. I mean, it's such a full-blown thing now that at one time the West Coast,
they
did have the greatest. Now everybody's
like the only
in
place
their,
to get it was out there.
Oh yeah,
point.
They had back then. Yeah.
Now everybody's brewing.
That's right. It's a big deal, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of a big deal. So at any rate, the Pike Brewing Company has a beer. It's a double IPA, which I've been drinking anytime I can. A double IPA. Just because it's like, okay, I'm...
That's where the taste buds are now.
Yeah. It's a shame because it ruins you. And I've thought about possibly going to some other style of beer for an extended period of time so I can come back and enjoy all the IPAs that I used to enjoy because it changes your taste for sure.
Why don't you just go through a couple weekends of Coors Light? That'll bring it back.
Yeah, for sure.
How about a fine Pilsner here and there?
Right.
Can't go wrong.
That's right. So
eat some sorbet. That's what you eat between
yeah, that's
meals, right?
Yeah,
cleans
yeah.
the palate.
Yeah, sorbet does work. And you can do a palate cleanser with beer too.
Yeah.
Crackers or something like that. Something that throws your taste buds off for a little bit. Doesn't always work though.
No.
But the beer was, anyways, double hopulous. If you guys are in the Seattle area, I recommend stopping in there. I recommend going to Pike Place Market or whatever it was called. Anyways, you know, because let's not fool ourselves. When we go on vacation, we're tourists, right?
Oh.
And you want to see that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You also want to see the local stuff, but, and we did that. We went to Fremont and, you know, all that, but definitely need to stop into Pike Place Market and see them throw fish and, you know, you can get anything there. the prices are high, but I mean,
what
do you expect? So
cool.
Scott, what's your beer?
The always go to Miller Lite.
It is a fine Pilsner.
It is. Says so right on the can.
Is it a double hop Pilsner? I think it says.
I think it has a picture of a hop butt on it, though.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
Right there.
Right. Yeah, it's a double hop Pilsner.
I can't even read that.
So, Miller Lite, that was my beer of choice.
Triple hops.
A triple hop Pilsner.
Yep.
Man, that's some hoppy Pilsner.
Maybe you don't want to have a fine Pilsner. That'll ruin your taste buds even more.
I know. So
triple hop.
Miller Lite was my beer of choice for lots of years. And then a friend of mine said, hey, why don't you try something different? And so I went to Coors Light.
But I went through a lot of other ones like that before finally pulled the pin on Miller and then just been there ever since.
I'm not a big fan.
Of Miller Lite?
No. If I'm going to do a light beer, I
go to Captain.
I like Bud Light.
Yeah, there you go. And you could have brought that one up, too.
Yeah.
You do drink a lot of Captain and Coke.
I've laid off.
Have you?
Yeah, I got a layoff for the trip.
Yeah.
You can't pack beer in.
You can.
Are you gonna take whiskey in?
I want to take a little flask of something in. You know, a little.
You have.
You never
to.
Know if you.
You might need celebrate. To celebrate. Yeah.
Right. I recommend Woodford Reserve.
Well, I'm probably gonna take in Jameson.
Oh, well, Jameson's good too. In, I like Jameson
because that's me and Tom both enjoy a shot or drink or that every once in a while.
I don't do shots of anything anymore. If I'm drinking something, I'm sipping it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, man, if there's a big elk laying on the ground with these guys, I guarantee there's going to be a couple shots.
Yeah.
They're not going to sip that.
I got buddies I fish with.
You got to be ready for a celebration.
Oh, yeah.
I got buddies I fish with. They always have a flask of some type of bourbon. Always. So, it's good. I need to get a flask because I always feel bad. You know, like I'm
always bumming.
Yeah.
I'm not always bumming. I took some bourbon this last time.
Just those guys in the truck or at camp, not in your fishing vest.
Those guys brush their teeth in it.
They do. They love their bourbon. I tell you,
it doesn't make them bad people.
No. They do love their bourbon. That's for sure. Just every second, it's like, why don't you come and have a nip of bourbon? You know, it's good though.
Yeah, makes the fishing better.
It does. What about you, Steve? What do you got?
Well, I'm going to go to 6 Point. I think we had resin on here.
We had high res, I think. Did we have high res?
I don't know. The high res is a good one, too, though.
Yeah.
But anyhow, they make a couple other IPAs. They make quite a few IPAs, though. They're probably in there with Stone on their IPA list, but some of it's... I don't know. I can't say that. I was going to say some of it's better than Stone. High res.
Say.
So they make I believe it's called Puff, but I believe it's the high res version unfiltered.
Yeah.
So it only comes out every so often, I believe. At least we can only find it here. And it's been a while since I've had it. There's only certain places you go in that you see. And if I see it, I'll grab it. It's really good. It's cloudy.
Yeah.
It's a hazy.
I know 6 Point is a New York beer, but are they like New York City, New York?
I'm not
sure. New York City.
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I just know they make some...
I know they're New York.
...really good IPAs.
Yeah, they do make... I mean...
Some of the best.
I would put them right up there.
Yeah.
For sure.
So I might... I mean, we hammered all the Stone. I might hammer on 6 Point for a while because they're one of the top... dogs, as far as I'm concerned, IPA wise.
I agree with you. They're doing it right.
Yep.
That resin can, it looks like a Mondre the Giant whenever I'm holding it. I'm like,
they call that something. What do they call that can?
I don't know. Virginia Slim can? I don't
know. No, they call it a. I don't know. I'll have to look it up and let you know. There's a name on it, though. They have a name for it.
But I always look.
Mini keg or something like that, they call it.
Oh, really? So that's today's podcast. I want to thank everybody for joining in and listening. And all you new listeners, man, thanks. We're seeing it. It's great. I'm glad everybody's listening. If you get a chance, I'd appreciate it if you could leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher, or just come on our podcast and say, hey, man, you're doing a good job, or you're not doing a good job. I hate this, or I love this, or, you know, something. Let us know what's going on. Our podcasts, as usual, are brought to you by Cody and Steve.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll be that way for the foreseeable future.
Yep.
So, all right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for coming, Scott.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Good luck on that trip, buddy.
Yeah, I'll keep you posted.
All right.
All right,
look forward to it. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.